This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng, Wong Xiaoning and Sharitz Abdullah. Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir wants a common trading currency for East Asia that would be pegged to gold. He has decried currency trading as manipulative.
Yeah, so he says that the regional currency could be used to settle imports and exports. According to Tun, it should be based on gold because of the stability of precious metal. And he also added that new currency could also be extended to countries outside of Asia. But however, this is it's not applicable for domestic transactions.
Now, he made these comments when Tun M went for the Nikkei Future of Asia's conference in Tokyo. He's in the Japanese capital for 3 working days. And if you remember, Tun M has been a longtime critic of currency trading. He once accused George Soros of betting against Asian currencies. And during the Asian financial crisis in 1998, Tun M actually pegged the ringgit currency at 380 to the dollar and imposed capital controls, a peg which lasted till 2005.
Yeah, that's right. It was really troubling times for Malaysia at that time. In fact, the economic turmoils at that time in 1998 actually brought down several governments in Asia, the Suharto government in Indonesia, and also started the Reformasi movement in Malaysia as well. So we have Gerald Ambrose, the CEO of Aberdeen Standard Investments, online to help us dissect this a little bit more. Good morning, Gerald, and thanks so much for joining us. So in 1971, the U.S. abandoned the U.S. dollar gold peg and effectively bringing the Bretton Woods system to an end and rendering the dollar a fiat currency, sort of allowing them to use paper to print currency. What do you think of Dr. Mahathir's latest proposal to have a common East Asian currency that's based on gold? Is this a viable proposal?
Good morning, Julian. Good morning, everybody. It's not the first time he's mentioned this. I think shortly after the crisis, back in 2000, he talked of the gold dinar. Certainly, you know, having a gold dinar is basically a system within nations that are trading actively with each other, say within ASEAN, of just netting off payments at the end of the month. Say I want to buy 100 tons of coal from Indonesia at X amount, and then Indonesia wants to buy a lot of rubber gloves from us at Y amount. You just net off X and Y at the end of the month rather than make the full payment. So in theory, and in the Middle East back in the sort of 13th, 14th century, it worked very well.
And
do you think it could work in today's world, actually?
Well, I don't think they had the sort of the cloud then. The financial system has many more routes of making payments now. Bretton Woods certainly, and the gold standard certainly did apply a discipline. Basically the gold standard was everybody's got a certain amount of gold, and everybody agreed that the price of gold should be X amount of dollars. So let's say it was $500 for an ounce of gold, then $1 was 1/500th of that ounce, and that was the same for everybody. So it meant that you could trade without having to worry about the fluctuations going on in different currencies that we have today. And really, since the Asian financial crisis, there has been a huge amount of fluctuations in currency. And of course, I think Hubert Hoover or that guy Hoover in 1931 said, we have the gold standard because we can't trust governments. And the thing is that it's not George Soros or speculators that mess around with the currencies. It's central banks. And that's happened in spades for the past 10 years.
And Gerald, this also feels a lot like the monetary union in the European Union. And we know that that comes with a lot of problems. Do you think Dr. Mahathir is leading to a kind of East Asian monetary union?
Yeah, I suppose if you had one common currency like they have in Europe, I'm not sure that that works because in Europe, I shouldn't criticize the EU too much, but Germany's economy may be in a slightly more healthy state than, say, the Italian economy. And the adjustment takes place with the currencies in those two countries. Were there to have been, you know, Italian lira and German Deutschmarks. Now you've got euros. Italy finds it very difficult to keep their current accounts and their GDP healthy with the same exchange rate as, or the same currency that Germany has, which is a lot more active an exporter and a different economy altogether. I don't know whether that would happen in if you had this sort of equivalent of the gold dinar or a netting off system in gold here in Malaysia. But I think it's all an attempt to try and overcome the problems that have happened over the past 20, 30 years with the volatility of currencies, particularly in these small economies like the ASEAN countries, and our vulnerability to the goodwill of speculators. If they suddenly decide to leave the currency, then we inevitably will weaken, and we have the problems that are very hard to battle that we had back in 1998, if you remember that.
Yeah, we certainly do. Still very fresh in our memories. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Gerald Ambrose, CEO of the Aberdeen Standards Investment. Guys, I think this issue will continue to dominate the headlines because this is one of Dr. Mahathir's pet proposals, right?
Pet projects.
Like the third national car as well.
You and I are old enough to remember 1998.
Thank you for that reminder.
But I wonder whether this is also just the bigger plan to reduce the dependency of US as the global currency, right? Moving away from that.
Especially
now with all this US-China trade war going on.
Yeah, and the US is reacting to it as well. We could see how, again, the bond yield has gone very low for the 10 years. So it just shows the kind of confidence. And everybody is just preparing itself for, you know, what's to come, really.
All right. The devil, as they say, is in the details. All right. We're taking a break now and coming up to the 7:30 news. And after that, UOB plans in Southeast Asia, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.